This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. We've been visiting families in need with the women who come to listen, provide support, enriched food, and advice. From João Pessoa in Brazil's northeast, we go to visit Angel Mortel in a small town called Ibiúna in São Paulo State. Maryknoll lay missioner Angel Mortel works with the children's pastoral program set up to reduce malnutrition and increase children's mortality. Poverty is not the first thing that comes to mind while winding through green hills on red clay roads. Ibiúna, Brazil, is a sleepy town, home to many small farmers and migrant workers. This region provides much of the fresh fruit and vegetable supply to the 20 million strong São Paulo, just 2 hours away. About a year ago, Maryknoll lay missioners Angel Mortel and her husband Chad Ribordi moved with their two daughters to Ibiúna. Angel works at the children's pastoral program. Eleanor Ostrinsky followed her to Doña Antonia's house.
We're in a one-room concrete house with a dirt floor. There's holes in the roof. When it rains, it leaks in and makes the floor muddy since the floor is dirt. Holes in the walls, also where bugs can come into the house. There's a stove that's not used because she never has gas to use with the stove. And then a lot of broken furniture. What we're doing is trying to build another part where they could live, where it wouldn't rain in on them, and then change the roofing here. Você veio para cá, para São Paulo, por quê? I asked her why they migrated from the northeast to São Paulo.
É porque o Elias veio para trabalhar no sítio, né?
And she said, well, we came because her husband, Elias, got a job at a farm here, working as a caretaker of the farm. And they worked there for 4 years. And then I asked her, well, so you came specifically for that job? She said, yes.
And does he still work there?
Ele trabalha ainda lá? No.
Ele arrumou o serviço, né? Tá com 2 semanas que ele foi trabalhar.
He no longer works at that particular farm. He works at another place, doing whatever they need around the house. Fixing the roof, fixing whatever. Then I know this. He's also worked in the fields, and earning 10 reais a day, which ends up being about $3 per day.
So how do they make it?
Tá passando o dia, né? Passando o dia, levando.
She said that when he's not working, which is because where he's working right now is not a steady job, but when he's not working, they live, it's a day-to-day thing, you know, where to get food. And she said she goes out looking for food in the community, and usually people come through. But now that her husband's working, she's happy because, you know, at least he's getting a food basket, so, which a lot of Brazilians get. It's called a cesta básica, and she said that helps with the food.
Later that evening, after putting the children to bed, Kathy Golden managed to find out more details about the work of Maryknoll lay missioner Angel Mortel. The children's pastoral provides enriched food and advice. Sometimes having no money for transportation can be a critical issue.
We work with families who have children who are at risk of malnutrition, and we do a lot of preventative health work. We visit families and we just monitor kind of the development of their children. We offer courses in herbal medicine, things that women can find in their yards, you know, herbs that would cure their kid of a stomach ache, you know, instead of people needing to go to the doctor and get a prescription for medication that they can't afford anyways. Unfortunately, there's a lot of sad stories. For instance, once we were doing visits and we happened to be passing the house of one of the families that's in the Pastoral da Criança, and one of her sons came out running saying, Nathanael's dying, Nathanael's dying. So we run in and he's on the floor and his mother picks him up and she said, he's dying, he's dying. And we were like, what happened? And she said, Well, he wanted to breastfeed and I refused him and then he just fell down. And we said, well, that's not a reason for a kid to fall down because he didn't breastfeed. And she's like, oh, I swear it's because I refused the breast. And we said, well, let's get to the hospital. And the hospital's about 30 minutes away from where we were. So we jump in the car and we get to the hospital and no one, we're saying we have an emergency here. Finally, a doctor saunters in, but he didn't ask us any questions, which I thought was really odd. And he just started administering, you know, an IV drip. And I said, well, aren't you going to listen to his heart? Aren't you going to ask some more questions about what happened? And he seemed very irritated by me being in the room. And then they told us to get out of the room. He didn't say anything about, you know, what was wrong with him, what he was medicating him for. And I was just appalled. I'd never had that experience before. My read is that he just didn't care about the kid very much because he was obviously a poor kid. And later on, I went back to the hospital because I was just so kind of angry about the whole thing, you know. And I'd gone back to pick the mother up because she needed a ride back to her house because she wouldn't have been able to pay for the bus fare. But I saw the doctor and I pulled him aside and I said, well, what do you think it was? And it's very rude to me. He said, it was a convulsion. And I said, well, what caused the convulsion? I mean, can you guess? Oh, I don't know. The neurologist will figure it out. But he just didn't care. I mean, it freaks me out because that's the only hospital in the town. So if anything happens to my kids, I'm going to take them there and receive this. Well, I don't know if I'll receive the same treatment, but no one really cares. And they handed her a piece of paper and said, you can go now. You see so much injustice. And there's just so much that you can do. And a lot, sometimes it's not enough or not anything, really. I mean, it's tough. It's tough.
Angel Mortel worked in the children's pastoral in Sao Paulo. Before moving to Ibiuna, she tried to help Isorechi, one of the pastoral's leaders, get a wheelchair for a brain-damaged girl. Listen to what a difference a wheelchair could make.
You know, the woman that we saw today, we were helping her get a wheelchair for a little girl that she accompanies in the Pastoral da Criança there in Sao Paulo. We met this little girl when we worked in Sao Paulo. She was born with a lack of oxygen to the brain. And so she's severely brain damaged. Mm-hmm. She can't walk. She can't talk. She can smile. She feels things. You can tell that. But anyways, her parents live in a favela. And when she was born, their families, their parents, their aunts, their uncles, they rejected the child. They thought she was an anomaly and they didn't want anything to do with the couple and their child, which in Brazilian culture, it's very hard because people rely on family a lot. So anyways, this little girl, her father was employed for a while and then he lost his job. And his income was mainly used to bring food into the house and to buy medicine, very expensive medicine for the girl so that she wouldn't have seizures. And she would die without this medicine. The parents, no one had ever, again, it was a lack of orientation on the part of the hospital and everything. No one had ever told them that you should do exercise with the kids so that they don't end up curled up for the rest of their lives. They were scared to touch her because they didn't want to break her. That's the literal translation of how they explained it. And the mother also was severely depressed. She felt rejected by the community, by her family. And so the family was going through a lot when Isorechi met them. So Isorechi, amazingly determined leader, because all the volunteers in the Pastoral da Criança are called leaders. She went after a social worker who could get the medication. She went after food in the community so the family would have something to eat. Isorechi got physical therapy for her, but the mother had to carry her, and this girl's about 3 or 4 years old, had to carry her all the way to the bus stop and then carry her on the bus to physical therapy, which is a long ways away. It wasn't like in the neighborhood, you know, it was like an hour bus ride from where they live. She hung in there, you know, but Izodachi was like, well, if we could get you a wheelchair, that might make it easier. But Izodachi had the hardest time getting someone to donate a wheelchair because it had to be a very special wheelchair. It had to fit her so that she didn't slump over and then atrophy in this position, you know. And Izodachi's, she did something really amazing that has helped the mother significantly. There's several kids that were in the pastoral at Kenyatta who either have brain damage or physically handicapped, and she's accompanied lots of the families and their parents. And, you know, a lot of them are depressed because there's no services for these kids. So she did a great thing of getting them all together into like a support group. And I think this has saved this mother, you know, Bruna's mother, from like kind of just going over the edge. But anyway, so, you know, we moved. And so I had always assumed she'd gotten the wheelchair. Then I wrote a story actually for Mary Knoll magazine about the success of a dedicated leader in the Pastoral de Crianza was able to help this family in this way, you know, do all the stuff, including getting this wheelchair, you know. After I submitted the story, I was talking to Izodachi on the phone, and I was like, oh yeah, I just wrote about Bruna, you know, how improved she is and all that kind of stuff. And she said, oh, she's really not that much better, Angelica. And I said, well, why? And she said, well, remember that wheelchair that we needed to get for her? Well, it never came, and you know, I was never able to get someone to donate the money for the wheelchair. And I said, you're kidding. She's like, yeah, and you know, she's atrophied again, and her mother can't take her anymore. It's really not a success story, Angelica. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. You know, I never knew the end piece with the wheelchair and how important that wheelchair was, the whole functioning of their lives. And so I said, well, give me some time and I'll try and raise some money to get a wheelchair. So I brought this up at the pastoral group meeting. And Heidi actually has a very, very generous friend, a Brazilian, who funded a large portion of the wheelchair purchase.
When was the last time you thought about the financial well-being of your neighbor? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Mary Knoll's sister Teresia Ensoma and Mary Knoll lay missioner Angel Mortel are just two of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Eleanor Ostrinsky, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.